Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio. Welcome to the Big Life Podcast on Full Service Radio. We are Lina Salazar
and Ingrid Vaishus,
broadcasting live from the lobby of the Line Hotel in Washington, D.C. Every week on The Big Life, we hold inspiring and honest conversations with experts, leaders, and holistic professionals who live and help others live big, fulfilling lives by redefining success, beauty, health, and happiness. The Big Life is a provoking invitation to mindset shift and gives you the tools to go from stressed and overwhelmed to happy and thriving. I'm Lina Salazar, a health coach and creator of the Food Sanity Program. I work with women who want to feel healthy, energized, confident, and be consistent with food without fad diets or stress.
And I'm Ingrid Vaishus, also a health coach. I help my clients discover achievable, sustainable strategies to better health so that they can avoid burnout and thrive at home and work. I work with both individuals and organizations. In this week's episode of the Big Life Podcast, we'll be talking about perfectionism. Let me ask you this. Are you or do you know a high achiever who's never happy with the outcome, thinks that they can do better and holds everyone on their team back? Or maybe you're always on a diet and feel like you're never going to reach that goal weight? Or are you an entrepreneur whose need for perfection paralyzes you from moving forward in your business? Whatever the scenario, the bottom line is the same. Perfectionism keeps us stuck in an all-or-nothing thinking, leaves no room for nuance, can hold you back, and lead you to unnecessary stress. Today, we'll be looking at the intricacies of perfectionism and why it affects so many of us. We'll also discuss where it comes from, how it affects every area of our life, and we'll share some strategies to help overcome these tendencies. Today's guest, some of you may recognize, is Leslie Santa. She's been with us before. So Leslie, for those of you who don't know her, specializes in the treatment of adults who are struggling with trauma, grief, and loss, and all things motherhood. She's a licensed independent clinical social worker in the District of Columbia and has a private psychotherapy practice, in DuPont Circle. We're so excited to have you back, Leslie.
Thank you so much. Here.
Mm-hmm. Leslie, welcome back. It's great to have you again on the Big Life Podcast discussing such a relevant topic, right? There's data showing that perfectionism is actually increasing and making us more vulnerable to depression, social anxiety, and preventing us from living a big life. So before we go into defining perfectionism, tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do?
Well, like Ingrid said, I specialize in treating people who are adults who are struggling with trauma, grief, and loss, and how those issues intersect with motherhood. And what I do is I blend both traditional psychotherapy techniques and more modern techniques to help people kind of overcome the underlying issues that they're causing them distress. So, and one of those is perfectionism.
Absolutely. Yeah, I bet you that's a common denominator among your clients.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's start there, right? Mm-hmm. Let's define perfectionism.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say that there's three things we want to think about. So one is there are extremely high standards for yourself and for the people around you that are personally demanding. Mm-hmm. The second part to the definition is that you base your self-worth largely on your ability to achieve these unrelenting standards. So in other words, like you judge yourself pretty hard when you don't when you don't reach the standards. And then the third part is that there are negative consequences. You experience negative consequences of these standards, and yet you continue to do them.
So what are some negative consequences that we might see, and how does perfectionism look like in real life?
Well, I mean, like burnout. I mean, you guys work with perfectionists too. So,
yeah, all of them.
check.
We can all answer this question. Yeah. Like exhaustion. I don't know. Like being sick.
Yeah. Being sick and having to come to a podcast.
Yes. Drinking tea and honey.
This is my perfectionist nightmare right now that I'm sick and I'm here. There's a crack in the veneer.
Yeah.
Let's see, what other consequences, what do you guys think?
I think in real life, for mine, it's like the inability to let go of the facade, the idea that I can't do it all, I can't be everywhere at the same time, I can't be the perfect employee, the perfect employer, and the perfect spouse, mother, sister all the time, and the inability to let go of that.
Yeah. Like, you know, if you think about it, like, if your standards are so high all the time, and I mean, unreachably high, you're always dissatisfied. Mm-hmm. Like, you're never okay. And that is a really horrible, uncomfortable place to be all the time. And the other thing I see often is, like, maybe actually there's some parts of your life that are okay, but there's this one area, like work or something, you're not getting that, you know, project that you really want to be on. And so therefore nothing is good enough, actually.
Yeah.
We can't hold all the things that are okay. They don't just seem enough anymore.
Yeah. I also see, let's say, from the work that I do with women, when I work with them, I see the perfectionism in the food they eat or the exercise, the miles they need to run every day in order to feel safe and let's say valuable. And as you mentioned, when you define perfectionism, there's a lot of identification with this way of being, and sort of like the source of your self-worth and self-esteem and confidence is based on how you do things, how much you eat, how much kale you eat, how many miles you run, and it's very based on external sources. Mm-hmm. Right, rather than internal. I see that in my clients, let's say, I see that as an effect of perfectionism, or they isolate, they don't go out for dinner with friends because they cannot control the food. Right. So I better stay home, right? I don't want to eat 2 slices of bread. And having said that, what do you think is the difference between perfectionism and healthy striving, like wanting to be better, and perfectionism?
I think they're actually totally opposite things.
But some people think that it's good to be a perfectionist,
well,
right?
Because you're doing things better. Because they equate it with, like, they're doing things great.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You can be a perfectionist and you can work hard. And that is not what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But working hard is not the same thing as being a perfectionist. And because working hard is about actually putting yourself into the work and, you know, trying to get something out of it, being part of the learning process. I wasn't sure if I was going to tell the story, but I'm just going to. So I have a 5-year-old who just started kindergarten. And, well, not just now, but what I have unfortunately learned is that they grade kindergartners now.
Oh.
Right? And so I've seen this process over the year of him really starting to internalize this, like, being graded, which is something I've really tried to keep out of his life, like, his assessment, right? Mm-hmm. And the other day he was, like, really kind of shutting down, and he told me that he's not getting good grades. He's not passing, or he's getting the high grades. They don't call them A, Bs, and Cs in kindergarten, but they're basically, the kids know what they are.
Yeah, it's like, they're good or bad.
Bad faces.
Yeah. And he said to me, he's like, I was like, you know, it's okay that you're not getting all the right, like, you're not getting the, they call them Ps, they're for proficient or whatever. You don't need all Ps. And he's like, what do you mean? Like, I have to get all Ps. Like, aren't I supposed to be perfect? And it was like this, like, as you can imagine, as a therapist, I was like, like a failure. No, like, and I had this conversation with him last night because I asked him permission if I could tell him this story. Mm-hmm. And I said, do you remember that conversation? He said, yeah. And I was like, well, what do you think about now? He's like, oh, I still think I need to be perfect.
No.
So it didn't work. But I think, I mean, one, it starts really young, by the way. I mean, this isn't like something we just picked up in college. Like, this started really early for us.
And the pressure.
And what I'm trying to teach him is it actually matters that you try and that you're working on something and that maybe it matters you're getting a little better at it, but you do not have to be, you don't have to have perfect scores, and that, like, you're going to be valued in the classroom and in our family either way.
Mm-hmm. And I think that it all comes down to, first, the motivation, like the why I do things, and that emotional attachment to the outcome. Right, because it seems to me that people who are not perfectionist they just do things for fun because it's not about not being ambitious or wanting to be creative or wanting to achieve things. It's more about what inspires you and the emotional attachment to the outcome and whether you feel you suck because when you don't achieve those things that you expect.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead. No, go ahead.
I think actually one of the things that one of the other major differences is that there's a realistic goal setting in somebody who works hard, right? They say, I'm gonna finish this project but I'm going to finish it in a month and not at the end of the week. And I think, and I actually think what you just said is really important too, is that they don't have that self-critical voice. So there's this part to perfectionism that's called, that I call punishment, right? So we really beat ourselves up when we're not perfect, and we're never perfect. So we're basically beating ourselves up all the time.
Yeah, but I think going back to the point that you were making about your son and how young it is, I think that that's the reinforcement we get as kids as to what is good, right? Good is the top grades, being excelling at like everything, being like the summa cum laude or graduating mm-hmm. valedictorian. Those are all things that are lauded. And I think, at least for me growing up, the thing that was constantly highlighted was where you were not perfect and where you were not doing a good job in general. Mm-hmm. Like not my one, but so it like it's this need to, it's never enough. So you constantly feel like you're trying to catch up and do it really well. And it starts so young, and I see the consequences of
yeah.
it.
Like, I think what you just said, Ingrid, is the feeling of not enough, mm-hmm. right? I don't know if it's perfectionism or these not enoughness epidemic, yeah. because we do things out of fear, and I'm including myself. Mm-hmm. I think okay. we are all victims.
Yeah.
We do things out of fear of not belonging, of not being approved, of being
criticized
and of falling short of not mm-hmm. being enough. So it's from a place of fear rather than enjoyment. I have this mindset of growth and learning.
Yeah, and I think that leads perfectly into the segue of like that superwoman complex,
yeah.
right? It's like we're not enough and we have to do it all, right? So how does that play into like perfectionism, do you think, Leslie?
I think the superwoman complex and perfectionism, basically, it's just the same term.
Yeah. Right. That's defined.
Yeah, I think you guys might work more with superwomen so, in some ways. Yeah. Than
so for me, the super, like, it is my client. It is a woman who is literally high achieving, has a great job, has accomplished in every aspect of her life. She can check all the boxes. Great job, great responsibilities, great salary, going up on the work ladder, also married, has a partner. If they want kids, they have the kids. So they have the home life that they want, then they have like the job that they want, and they just keep saying yes to things. And so they're so overwhelmed by all of it and having to feel like they need to do everything perfectly and not ask for help. Because asking for help is immediate. Seen for them as a weakness, and as I'm like, oh my god,
I can't do it.
And if I can't do it, how is this going to compromise my job, my relationship, mm-hmm. how I'm seen as a mom, how I'm seen as a professional?
You know what's so interesting when you say that, like the picture you paint, right, of this person is like everyone else in the room can see all those amazing attributes of that person, and if they are dealing with perfectionist issues, right? We know that they don't see any of that, right? And it's so hard when I see my clients. I mean, I have a lot of clients actually who are like this too. So,
yeah.
But it's like, you know, they create their own prison, right? They've created their own prison. They're stuck in it. They're holding the key. She has everything she needs. She, you know, it's hard to see somebody who's not stopping and saying, wow, like, look how much I've done with my life. You know, when we think about wanting to be perfect, what we're trying to get to is the end and not being present at all in the process, mm-hmm. which is uncomfortable because sometimes it's hard. But you know, what is it in the end that she's looking for? Mm-hmm.
I think that, and we talked about these at the beginning, before the show, before you guys were tuned in, and it's the importance of permission. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talked about Ingrid sees it in her clients. Permission to be imperfect, and I see it with my clients, like permission to eat a donut, mm-hmm. And it's the that we don't grab seeing that it's okay to be imperfect, or that making mistakes it's acceptable. We don't, and it goes to the cultural perfectionism. Mm-hmm. It's not self-imposed. It comes from the culture.
Yeah, that's
right. Mm-hmm. So just that giving permission to make mistakes, to rest. To say no, all of those things are...
To ask for help.
Because
you can say yes if somebody can take this off my plate or if somebody can help me do that. But even that, I mean, at least with my clients, is a struggle. The ability to ask for help and ask for support and realize that you don't have to do it alone. And then by not doing it alone, you're actually able to achieve more.
I think that that's also important. That what you said about the achieving more... And I'm thinking about my case with, like, as an entrepreneur, my own business, when I am stuck in, like, this perfectionism loop, negativity loops, perfectionism loop, I am less productive, I am less creative, I don't make progress, I go to bed frustrated, I don't sleep well. So it's like a domino effect. It's like it has this trickle-down effect on the rest of my day, my night, my relationships. It's, so that is when you think about the difference between I can want to achieve, I want to be creative, be productive, but without this pain.
Well, I think, so actually what you're saying is that it's counterintuitive, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so the things that you actually do as a perfectionist slow you down, make you less productive, right? Actually get you close, further away from achieving the thing you want to achieve. And the perfectionists out there listening to this aren't going to like this, but but realistic, or people that think about working hard versus being perfect, they actually accomplish way more than perfectionists.
Yeah, and we were talking about it early before we started to record about procrastination, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So perfectionism and procrastination are actually they're two, what do they say, the two sides of the same coin, right? Mm-hmm. So they're linked because when... I mean, let me give you an example, right? Yeah. So let's say we're you have a paper due, and you get the assignment, and you think to yourself, I am going to write the best paper. This is what a perfectionist thinks, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to write the best paper this teacher's ever seen, ever. It's going to be published, actually. I know I have this in me. I'm going to shine. It's going to be amazing, right? They sit down and write the paper.
Feeling the anxiety.
Yeah, right.
Like it's not going to get written because you'll be stuck in the
Absolutely.
First paragraph.
You sit down and you write the first three sentences over and over and over, and then you put it away and you're like, I'll do it tomorrow.
Yep.
Right? Because nobody can actually do that.
The goal is so overwhelming.
Yeah, it's so much pressure.
This reminds me of when I ask my clients, the women I work with, why don't we just leave weight, like leave it aside? Like, don't think about weight loss. How about we just focus on healthy behaviors? Because you can eat broccoli and eat salads and go for a run without pursuing weight loss. Those things don't come hand in hand. So, because the goal is so overwhelming and so stressful that then you procrastinate, you quote unquote fall off track. So it's similar, right? I see that.
Right. So there's perfectionism as it relates to procrastination. And I mentioned the punishment earlier. There's a fourth P, and that's paralysis.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So that's really where, you know, when I say that sometimes perfectionists don't achieve as much. It's like, this is when we don't turn the paper in on time, right? Mm-hmm. Or it's late, or actually at work we're late on our assignments, or projects take us a long time. Because we're stuck, we get completely paralyzed and can't get out of it.
Yeah, and we lose them at least... like in tagging along and adding on. It's like the joy and the fun of it. Something that should be interesting, should be fun, is now paralyzing, packed with so much like pressure that you're no longer having fun. It's no longer joyful. And I think it happens to me too when I'm thinking of my business. When I'm actually making it fun and I'm excited about it, then it flows easier. When I put myself, like when I'm thinking ahead of myself too far in advance, then there's all this pressure. And then it's like, oh, and then it just all kind of like comes
paralyzed
to a halt, and I have to like stand up and leave, and like I'm not being productive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Instead of like when you think about your why, right? Like my women that are leaders that want
How
to be better at
them?
Work. And then, exactly. Then you lose focus. When you're a perfectionist, you lose focus.
Mm-hmm. And it's like an excuse not to do it, right? Because of the fear of failure.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, so what's bigger, your fear of failure, or are you actually succeeding and helping someone? Like the bigger picture, your why.
Your why. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about fear of failure?
So I feel like
that's
we need.
A big
I know it's the fear of failure.
Let's do it after the break.
Yeah, let's do it after the break. So we'll take a short break, but stay tuned for the second part of our conversation where we'll talk about fear of failure, maybe get some tips and tricks on how to start overcoming this perfectionist mind and tendencies. So we'll be back with Leslie in a little bit.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Big Life Podcast on Full Service Radio. We are Alina Salazar
and Ingrid Vaishus,
broadcasting live from the lobby of the Line Hotel in Washington, D.C.
Our guest today is Leslie Santa, a licensed independent clinical social worker in the District of Columbia who has a private psychotherapy practice in DuPont Circle. During the first half of our show, we explored what perfectionism looks like, how feeling overwhelmed or the superwoman syndrome can affect or can enhance our perfectionist tendencies, and how the feeling of not being enough definitely fuels that fire. In the second half, we want to get a little bit more practical, but we want to get back to the discussion we were having about
fear of failure.
Sorry, guys. I was like, ooh, I had like a moment of spaz. Like, what was it?
So you're fear tired. Of failure.
Yeah, it's Friday. It's tired and I haven't been sleeping great, so sorry.
No apologies. Yeah. We accept you for who you are.
We are all imperfect. That's not in being imperfect,
like,
Ingrid.
What was it?
Fear of failure.
Yeah, so, you know, perfectionism is driven by both a desire to do well and the fear of consequences not going well. It's highly correlated with fear of failure. But fear of failure, it's a hard one. Mm-hmm. It's not a very good motivator, actually, to do well. So I'm going to go back to that example of the paper, mm-hmm. right? So in that scenario where someone's like, I'm going to turn in my best work, like, imagine actually doing your best work, right? Like, whatever that would have to take to actually put, you know, really what's inside of you out there. I actually know, you guys know what I'm talking about, because you guys are doing the work that mm-hmm. you're supposed to be doing, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like your baby out there, right? Well, putting it out there, giving it this to your teacher, let's say, and then it not being graded, like, getting a bad grade on it is such an injury. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in some ways, we're really avoiding that when we procrastinate, is we're like, well, that's too scary. Yeah. I'll turn in. So, I mean, like, I am a absolute, I'm more of a procrastinator. I mean, I'm a perfectionist, but I can really only see my perfection in my procrastination. You know, I was like the all-nighter queen in college and grad school. That's like, and in the end, I just was like, that's how I do it. Like, why suffer? Why put myself through the 2 weeks of agony before the paper? I know I'm just going to stay up the night before and finish it. It's kind of my thing. So, and I think what would happen is that I would be like, well, if I don't do well, it's because I stayed up all night. I didn't, right? So it wasn't my best work. That really special part of me isn't being judged. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, for sure. It's, again, it's just sort of like having that as the source of your self-worth. Like, this paper will either confirm yes. that I'm worth it, or it will confirm that I suck.
It'll confirm my fear, like what I think I know about myself if I don't try mm-hmm. hard.
Exactly.
Enough.
It will mm-hmm. validate my fear. And I yeah. also hear, like, interpret what you're saying as this delusion behind perfectionism that we can control every factor, mm-hmm. everything. So, which is a delusion, right? How do you see control and fear of failure in the people that you
work
with?
Well, there's something actually kind of grandiose about perfectionism that, like, you know, my work, or I have to do this or the whole team's going to fall apart, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I know that my organization's kind of a mess and my boss is an idiot, but, like, I'm so important that I have to stay here these extra hours and do this work. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
There's something that, like, a little too self-important about that. Yeah. Like, that it can be really helpful to step back and be like, well, you know, my work's good, my group's valuable, but they'll survive without me.
Yeah. And my goal, at least for me, it's like, what happens if you're not indispensable? What happens if you actually have a team that is doing, each person in that team is doing what they love to do and can contribute to making your life easier so that you can focus on, like, the bigger picture or doing the things that you actually love to do, because you're no longer spending your days doing the things that you feel you have to because you said yes to and because you don't want to delegate.
Which is sort of like a paradox. Mm-hmm. We don't believe in our worth, but at the same time, we believe that we're indispensable and no one's going to be able to do it as well as we're going to do it.
It's crazy.
And that I'm going to save everyone, mm-hmm. basically. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So,
and I think it's a good segue to talking about how it affects our relationships, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because
we've been talking about what it does to us and how we're in our head and how it affects how we interact with the world. But how does this perfectionism affect our relationships?
A lot, yeah. So, you know, like, Perfectionists are highly critical of themselves and highly critical of other people. So we reject in others what we can't accept in ourselves. And in perfectionists, that means that there's a lot to reject, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's few or beyond the reach of our critical eye.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're really unsatisfied in our relationships. People are constantly disappointing us.
I feel like we judge everybody with like this like high standard or high. High standard.
Yardstick. It's the word I think. Yardstick.
Yeah.
We're going.
It's Friday.
So, I think we're more demanding with people. Mm-hmm. And again, being completely honest, I am a victim of that. So you get more frustrated with people. You are more impatient. You're likely to be. Less tolerant. So, and that affects your relationships at work, at home.
Yeah, and it's like we talk so much about accepting people where they're at, but we're not doing it to ourselves or to others. Mm-hmm. And then that, in turn, how much brain space is that taking up? Whereas if you're like, okay, maybe I wasn't clear, maybe I let them do things their way, as long as the result is good for them and for the team or for everybody else or for myself.
Focus on the good stuff, mm-hmm. right? Like, I know we have this negativity bias, but mm-hmm. just like, let's try to be aware of it first and then go against it. Like, okay, I'm seeing all the negative things. I can notice that. What's the positive side of this? How is that person doing a good job? In which sense? Someone has to have something good in them.
Yeah, and they bring something to the table.
Yeah, exactly.
We all do.
We mm-hmm. think about criticism, too. When we think about like a marriage, criticism is like poison in a marriage. So if you're somebody who is critical to yourself and somebody else, it's a really toxic thing mm-hmm. in a relationship, right? That's like why people go to couples counseling, right? Is that there's this... Like you're not on the same team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This person's not doing enough for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Another way that the perfection really affects your relationships with other people is that you have a really hard time opening up to other people because you're supposed to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So a perfect person doesn't have problems. And so when we sit down and, you know, get lunch together, I'm not going to tell you all the things that are hard on me, because then you'll realize that I have these weaknesses.
Yeah.
So you end up being really isolated and alone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't want to be judged.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What are some less obvious signs of perfectionism? Because I know we've talked about what it looks like. Are there any less obvious where people are like, oh, no, I'm not a perfectionist, but then you're like, maybe you are.
Hmm.
Can you think of any? I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. I'm like, is there something that we do that is not as obvious but still shows the tendency?
Well, I mean, I think, like I said earlier, for myself, that it's, I don't know that I'm engaging in my perfectionist narrative until I find myself procrastinating. And then I can step back and say, oh, what did I say? Like, what was that unconscious thing I was saying I was going to do?
Yeah.
And you know what? I also think that maybe less obvious ones are, it's not about like having a perfect margin and a perfect hair and a perfectly made bed. It's also about, and this is very connected to our past episodes, Ingrid, mm-hmm. about resilience.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how do you tolerate pain or failure, right? Or you didn't get the promotion. How are you able to tolerate those instances and normal circumstances of life? It's about resilience too. So I think we can also see perfectionism in those things, even though perfectionism wouldn't come up.
Yeah, and you know what comes to mind, the conversation we were having before the show started about, okay, so now there's like the other end of the pendulum where we're like, we're not going to be perfect and we're going to show our imperfect self. But within that, we're also trying to be perfect.
Yeah, which is mm-hmm. super trendy nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I love Brené Brown and all the vulnerability thing, but then it takes time to learn how to be those things. And we are not taught how to be imperfect. And when all of a sudden the desirable thing is being imperfect, vulnerable, self-compassionate, that becomes something else that we want to do perfectly and figure out. How am I self-compassionate? Right? Do you see that in your mm-hmm. clients or you, Ingrid?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm actually trying to think of an example someone told me once. I think I told them to give their mom like a Brené Brown book or something, and their mom read it and then was like doing something. It was about boundaries or something. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I'm being vulnerable, like totally misusing it. Like,
yeah. It's not hard to learn these things. Yeah. It's not easy to learn these things.
And it's like there's like that gray space between being vulnerable and sometimes just plain oversharing.
You have to
it's
know.
Like you don't
you
know.
Have to know. Yeah. Well, and I think also there's also like the sense when we're trying out vulnerability, we can over, right, you just said mm-hmm. overshare, and then we can have this like backlash, kind of like a hangover yeah. about it. It's mm-hmm. a, it can be a really, we can go too far.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Shall we get practical?
Yep.
Sure.
And talk about how to overcome perfectionism now that we define it and
talked about it.
People know, can raise their hand. Let's, what kind of tools can we give people?
I mean, the first place I would start is we want to work on developing self-compassion. I think that's what we were just talking about with, you know, when we've mentioned Brene Brown before. So
it's not that it's that bad. I don't want to
no.
be misunderstood.
No.
But, you know, when we need to actually start to create a new narrative that competes against the negative, the kind of critical voice that we have, you know, and in the work I do with people, we really try to highlight that and kind of characterize the part of us that you know says really nasty stuff about us and other people, and start to develop a voice of our own that is more compassionate. So when we dig into this, we can actually kind of see how helpful it can be to find compassion. I mean, actually, something I ask my clients a lot is like, if your best friend were in the room right now, what would they say to you? It's a lot, or what would you say to your best friend? It's a lot easier sometimes to be compassionate to other people than to ourselves. And I'm like, just flip it, right? Mm-hmm. Like what, and I mean, this is another characteristic of perfectionists, is that they're like, well, that doesn't apply to me, right? But I think, you know, we can find, mm-hmm. there's a lot of resistance to accepting this, but I mean, you know, in my work, I sometimes spend a long time convincing someone they're a perfectionist, because like, how dare you take this away from me? Like, I'm going to be perfect no matter what you say. But when they embrace this and say, okay, I can see this is not getting me anywhere, right?
Yeah.
The first step we want to do is actually really try to develop a compassionate voice towards ourselves, you know, about forgiveness and being kind and understanding and less harsh.
Yeah. I like telling my clients, well, this is with the body, mm-hmm. but it's like you have this friend, and you sometimes may disagree with your friend, but you still respect it, right? So it's reminding us of that respectful voice towards ourselves. I do it with body, but I just felt that mm-hmm. it applied for some reason. What other things, practical things? I really like giving that a voice, creating this voice. Like, what are the things that this other voice is going to tell me? What else?
Well, okay, so the other thing we want to do is fight the black and white thinking, mm-hmm. right? So what happens when perfect is the thing we're supposed to be, is that we're either perfect or we fail, right? There's actually, the scale is like there's just two things on the scale, and we need to stretch that out, and that continuum out, and create something in between perfect and failure, right? Because that's not actually true. We want to actually understand what is not good enough, mm-hmm. right? Because a lot of times when I talk to people about this, they're like, you're telling me I should turn in bad work or whatever. I'm like, no. What is bad work? Like, you know, I've done bad work before. Like, know what that is though. Like, know actually what failure is. Know what is not good enough for you. What's good enough and what is closer to something that, you know, that you're proud of.
Yeah.
And I think it's also about looking at the big picture. I think perfectionists tend to hold on to things and not let them go. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how about we ask ourselves, how important is this going to be a year from now, a week from now, 3 months from now? Mm-hmm. If your answer is really not that important, then should you really be spending all your trying to make this thing so perfect?
Right.
It's like that when you open it up to looking at the big picture and at the long term, mm-hmm. then what difference does it make, and how will you act on it now
differently?
Keeps
perspective, for mm-hmm. sure.
So what, from a neuroscience perspective, what we're trying to do is actually increase the plasticity of our brain. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to actually be a little more flexible here. So the question is, well, what else? What are other things, right? What else could be happening when we're thinking about, like, if this one area of my life I'm not achieving in, but there's these other things that are okay, can we try to create some space and hold both? Mm-hmm. Can I both be maybe not feeling great at my job, but also, like, I'm a good friend, mm-hmm. right? Like, I'm a good partner, or you know, like, I have a, I love my dog, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
Can we hold both of those? I mean, that's how we combat black and white thinking, is like somewhere in the middle.
I like how you say hold both mm-hmm. of those mm-hmm. things, because we can be both of those things.
Oh, yeah.
And I love how this is, Leslie, if you haven't heard them, you should listen to our episodes on intentions and resilience, because they are so connected to mm-hmm. this.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about flexibility, like that capacity to move in that gray area. Mm-hmm. At the end, life is gray, right? Riley, life is uncertain. We don't know how it's going to go. So it's this capacity to move in that gray area and tolerate uncertainty and imperfection. So, and I like how you said we can be both. You can be the person who rests and the person who works hard. And how do you can hold both of those?
And the challenge, I'm challenging all my perfectionists out there, is that this is harder. It is harder to do this. It is harder to do both than to be black and white. Yeah. I'm trying to speak to you.
Yes, no, and I like that. You. I like that. Do you want a challenge? Be yeah. great. Be
this is harder. What you're doing is too easy.
And also, yeah. I mean, I think it is also that we don't realize that in our imperfection or in our failures, we have our biggest breakthroughs sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's that fear of failure that sometimes keeps companies from doing great work, because nobody's willing mm-hmm. to or wanting to point out the thing that may not be working, the process that might be flawed, for fear of being criticized, ostracized, and the consequences that may come with it. But if we start to flip it and look at it as a positive, well, what happens if we make a mistake? Well, we learn something. And in some cases, we can save lives. We can change processes. Mm-hmm. We can make more money. I mean, whatever it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. Is there anything else?
Yeah, I have another two more thoughts that are kind of connected. So, I mean, we've talked about this idea of being good enough, okay? Mm-hmm. And that, I think, relates to the scale that we want to expand. I have another take on good enough mm-hmm. that I have been personally experimenting with, because I think it actually speaks a little bit directly to the perfectionist. So it's my new phrase is 80% is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it very releasing, right? So that when I'm sitting down and I'm trying to write something, I say that to myself, 80% is perfect. And it kind of allows me to write.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the reality is that my 80% is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
It's probably
better
than
fine.
A, you know, yeah, like it's fine. It's mm-hmm. great, actually.
How was your perfectionist coming out?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Totally. So,
cool.
But I find it's a really helpful philosophy.
It gives you permission.
Yes.
It gives you permission.
It's like, yeah, the self-compassion, looking at the big picture, showing yourself 80% is good enough.
Yeah.
It's perfect, actually.
So the last thing I want to say is that the place that perfectionism comes from inside of us is actually a really wonderful place. And I am not trying to, we're not going to like squash that and make it disappear. We need to harness it for good. So there's something in us. I mean, I think we can call us like achievers or something, right? I mean, there's some like Myers-Briggs, I don't know, mm-hmm. some personality test that, mm-hmm. right? But like for people who are like this, if we can harness that, it can actually be really containing. But as long as we have realistic goals, right? So like if you're going through a transition and you're feeling out of sorts, find yourself a real goal, like something you can reach, and you're going to feel safer. You're going to feel more accomplished and kind of steady. Does that make sense?
Totally. Awesome. Definitely.
Yeah, I think this is a perfect place to end. And you, go ahead.
Can I just add a couple of resources?
Sorry.
So we've talked about Brené Brown. She has a book specifically about this called The Gifts of Imperfection, which mm-hmm. is a great place to start. I often have clients read that just to keep the narrative outside our session going.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new book that just came out called Ish, by mm-hmm. Lynn Cazali. I don't know if I'm saying that right. And then actually Tara Brach just came out with a new book too mm-hmm. called Radical Compassion, which I haven't read. It's on my list, but some of my clients have read it and highly recommend it.
She's really good. I'm a fan of Tara Brach.
Cool. All right. And you've done this before.
Yeah.
So what does living a big life mean to you?
I try not to get too far ahead of myself. I'm trying to just stay present mm-hmm. and like be where I am.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And what are you excited about?
Well, that said, I'm not.
Yeah.
It's in the future. It's not very present at all. I'm really excited for spring. I know we're like still really in the dead of winter here, but I'm like kind of over it, and I'm excited for...
Although I'll have to say it hasn't been awful
It hasn't been
winter.
That bad, no. but mm-hmm. I'm ready.
Yep.
I'm ready.
For sure. And then where can people find you? Let's remind them.
Yeah. So you can go to my website. It's lesliekstanta.com. Technically have an Instagram profile.
I know.
It's Leslie Stanta, LICSW, and you can just give me a call at 202-656-8515.
Great.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Leslie.
Thank you for having
me. This
is so fun.
We'll
I know we tested your perfectionist tendencies today because
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Ingrid, how many takeaways do you have?
Oh my God, I have
hundreds. But mm-hmm. I will say two things. I think that it was evident from our conversation the importance of self-worth. And I think it can become sort of like a signal, like a red alert. If people out there, if our listeners don't really know when are they being perfectionist or whether they are or not, like an alarm, a signal is whether you feel very attached to the outcome of anything you do and whether you feel like your worth is based on that thing, of that outcome.
Yeah.
That for me is like a key signal.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is, I liked what Leslie said at the end, because our goal with the show was not to how do you say, downgrade or eliminate the perfectionist. It's more about
harnessing.
I like what she said about harnessing, which is a lot from Buddhist psychology. Yes. And Tara Brach, which is like accepting the demon and welcoming the demon.
Yeah.
And harnessing it.
And I love the idea of challenging us to look at the gray, to get really good at being in that gray, because I think that's where we learn and that's where we grow. And really asking yourself, is my perfectionist tendency holding me back? Is it keeping me from doing my best work? Is it making me less joyful, less enjoying of the things that I want to do and that I feel like I should be bringing into the world? And that gray space allows us to do that. And I also think what you said is like 80% is perfect.
It's enough.
Is enough. And I think that's just so valuable.